Welcome to Christ Today on this beautiful spring day. Heavenly Father, we are full of thanks, and we show you our gratitude with prayer and worship, and we are thankful for the love that we have from you, and let us show our love to Christ and to our neighbors. In Jesus' name, amen. We read the Bible to know God, Jesus, well enough to follow him and to show somebody the love of God as we understand it. And we do want to follow God and not our own selfish thoughts and desires. And of course, we do know that our relationship with you is what brings us hope and joy and eternal life. And we do give you thanks for that. Thanks, thanks, and thanks. We urge everyone to read the Bible for themselves so that they can recognize the salvation that they can have through Jesus Christ. And of course, I think about the thief on the cross, crucified next to Jesus. And he said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." So there's a lot of people who believe that's as easy as it is to be saved. And you know what? I'm not the judge of that. Jesus Christ is. And I can see that it could be so very easy just like that. And there are other parts that suggest a little differently. I don't know. I just want everyone to read the Bible and get an understanding for themselves so that they are comfortable with their own salvation, because our choices have consequences, and some of them are pretty serious. So, one might wonder about how in this world we seem to go back and forth between showing and living our belief in Jesus Christ and being involved with things of the world. And that has always been the case. People have always liked the things of the world. Sometimes it's food, sometimes it's wine, and sometimes it's riches. I mean, people are all different, and they all have different things that they like. And I think of the Bible telling us that we are in the world, but not of the world. And somehow we get to figure out how to go through life loving God, loving our neighbor, and still being a part of this world. I think of King Nebuchadnezzar in the book of Daniel, how he kind of went back and forth between things of the world and how he saw the awesome greatness of God and believed in God, as far as I can tell. See, there were many gods in Chaldea at the time, and so King Nebuchadnezzar was familiar with those gods because he was of that culture. But then he saw how great and good the Hebrew God of Daniel was. And he did see that truth as the miracles were done in front of him. How he saw Daniel and his fellows fasted and prayed, and their prayers were answered. For particularly the king's dream and the meaning of the dream with the head of gold and the body of lesser metal and the feet of clay and iron. Very amazing. So King Nebuchadnezzar saw how the Hebrews would not worship the statue that he put up, and so he threw those Hebrews into the fire to burn. But they survived the fire in some amazing, miraculous way. That was another miracle. The king saw how Daniel survived the night in the lion's den. Yes, another miracle. So King Nebuchadnezzar knew that there was an awesome God who was ever so amazing and powerful and wow. But he still listened to his advisors, to the Chaldean wise men, and so he was a little bit of the world and a little bit of Daniel's God, Hebrew God. So I think that is what we are also seeing today. So many people see the amazing wonders of God through Jesus Christ, and yet they are surrounded by our culture, just like the king was surrounded by his traditional Chaldean culture. So the king went back and forth, apparently, and so do some of us. Now there's a question of how do we keep our faith and live according to God's will? Well, I think a part of that is, again, as we read the Bible, we learn more and more, and we want to be born again, just like John 3:3 speaks of. And born again means to change. It is a new person that has changed. Yes, many of the old ways remain, or the old, all sorts of things remain, but that's another part. You see, Ephesians 4:32 speaks about putting off the old men, the old man, which was the sinful and worldly part of ourselves, and then we would become a new creation in Christ Jesus. That's 2 Corinthians 5:17. So let us recognize this desire in our heart and learn how to live it. I mean, that is really what we want to do. That shows that we are belonging to Jesus Christ. As we recognize this in our heart and we let the truth be shown to us by our logic and intellect, in our thoughts and our mind. So we choose to live according to God's will, and that's a part of the transition to that new man, a new creation. And let's not go back and forth like some of people who have done in history, even like King Nebuchadnezzar. We want to show that, live in a way that is faithful to Jesus Christ every day. Sometime we can review the Bible, we read it, and we get strengthened in our faith and in our knowledge. And the Bible certainly shows us the Hebrew tradition of, for thousands of years, how it was demonstrated that a blood sacrifice of the animals, of the lambs or the goats or the cattle, the blood sacrifice was necessary to atone for the sin of man. And then there comes Jesus, and he became our blood sacrifice, our atonement for our sin. And Jesus is God's gift to us, but just like any gift, we must accept that gift for it to be ours. And so we say, "Yes, Lord," and then we live a life that shows that we have accepted what he has to give us. And that is a part of that changed life that I just talked about. So it does make a difference to a lot of people to realize that our decisions have eternal consequences. It's the consequence of sin. And so we want to be forgiven, and that forgiveness is through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross. So we don't want the bad consequences for sin. Therefore, we confess our sin and ask for forgiveness and change our ways. That's a biblical pattern. We do like the good consequences of accepting Jesus, and that is something that I hope we all do. Maybe you have already accepted Jesus as your Savior, and maybe you could have a renewed joy by remembering how you were forgiven, and that you will be spending eternity in heaven with Jesus. And isn't that wonderful? Oh, yes, it is. Well, I'm thinking about the Old Testament a little bit, and I think of how it showed many of the same things that the New Testament shows. There was sin, there was forgiveness, there was repentance. That is kind of a pattern. And now I think of Noah also, because Noah built the ark and was all ready to go according to what God told him to do, and the door to the ark stayed open for a few days. But no one else went into the ark, and there was God's safety in the ark, God's safety and protection. But I think it's something that can probably be a pattern, that the door to safety, to God's safety, does not stay open forever. Now, maybe this is a correct interpretation, and maybe it isn't. But I think that we all can pray and read the Bible and ask God to show us what the truth of the Bible is, or even what the truth of a particular part of the Bible, or a proverb, or something that has gone on in the Bible. I believe we have that relation with Jesus as we pray and ask God for that understanding. Now, it might be a actual something in our head that tells us that it's a response from God. And I also have heard plenty of times when we have prayed and somebody comes to us and tells us something that relates. Oh, and I've had that happen as I've listened to Christian radio too. I have prayed and asked about something, and then there comes an explanation on a Christian radio broadcast. So I believe there are many ways for God to speak to us. And if we have a question, I think it's good to ask God, Jesus, what it is about that we're wondering. There are many people, though, who do have their faith go a little bit back and forth between the world and between believing that God is the awesome God and the Lord of all. And I do want all of us to prepare to pray for the unsaved. And that is always a good thing for us to do, because we all know people who are in a valley of indecision, let's say, or that they just are even rejecting God, rejecting Jesus, because they want the things of this world. So let us remember to pray for the so many people who we know, the so many people who we love, the so many people who are tempted. There are people always to pray for, and that is what a part of what we do as Christians. So there's many people who have problems in the world today. And as I think about problems, I think about how they distract us from the important issues in life. And the most important issue is knowing Jesus Christ. And yet, while there are things going on in front of us, they get our attention. They get our attention more than the big questions like, do we believe in Jesus or not? Do we accept him? Do we live our life for him? Well, as we are confronted with the problems, there often is an element of fear. And fear can either take all of your attention, or it can, well, let's say paralyze you. It'll paralyze you so that you can't really make a decision. And that is another part of what all the conflicts in life do. And I do think it's intentional. I think it is a work of the god of this world, which is Satan. So we have things that are coming in front of us, and we need to use our mind, and our emotion, but we have to seek God as we go through life so that we are not distracted by the many, many problems that confront us. There are many people who want to bring the future problems into the present day, and a lot of people worry about what's coming. Well, think about it is good, but no, not worry. Don't worry about it, but if there is something you can do to ease what you see is coming, well, that's what the wise people do. They get out of the way of trouble. Some people are just paralyzed by the beast system that is coming, and they get afraid. And I don't think we have to get afraid, but if you see it coming, there are certainly some things you can do. I know the gospel talks about wars and rumors of war and famine and pestilence. So don't worry about it. But if there is something you can think about to do, well, then yes, do something. That's only reasonable. God gave us a mind to reason with. He gave us emotions to feel with. So all these things are a part of who we are, and we just want to have the proper understanding. And I think we get that when we read the Bible and see what people do and have done and what we don't want to do. It's all a part of reading what has gone on in Bible history. And yes, there are things that confront us each and every day. Well, we have movements that have been going on for decades. Of course, it's a plan. It's a plan to cause us concern and even problems so that we don't think about the most important issues, which are our eternal life with Christ Jesus and how we live that life, loving God and loving our neighbor. So we get into the habits of following what the system tells us to do. You could say what the government tells us to do, or the church tells us to do. It's all a matter of putting a pattern into us so that we will continually say yes to what confronts us. But I think we also want to use our mind to discern what is the truest true and what is wise to do. There's a lot of people nowadays who are worried about not having what they need for themselves or maybe their children or whatever it is. They think about the gas and the groceries that are going up in price, and what are we going to do about it? Well, I think all that is a part of the problems that are brought to our attention so that we don't think about the real important issues, and that is accepting Jesus. So we have financial problems, with our financial system. And, oh, you know, that's another one. If we are getting government benefits, what will happen with the new system? With the new system of central bank digital currency, or the blockchain system, or anything else? We have things to be concerned about. Yes, concern, but don't worry. Worry is not of God, but concern, I think, is something we do with our brains that is proper and appropriate. Well, we do have lots of things going on as authorities tell us this or that. Now, that can be government authority, banking authority, corporate authority. Are you allowed inside the store with a mask or without a mask? What about your work? Do you need that vaccine injection? Well, there are a lot of people telling you what you need to do to stay safe. And we have even a tracking system that has been in many countries. They have facial recognition and they track all the citizens. China is famous for that. New York has thousands and thousands of cameras that also track the citizens. Now, it's not just New York. It's many big cities in the United States. We are slowly and gradually becoming a surveillance society. And is that something to be concerned with? Well, no, maybe. But there are systems that are going to watch us, and they've been around for a long time. Our banking system has been a part of that. The bankers are instructed about what to look for and if they should notify the federal government. I mean, we think in terms of a $10,000 cash transaction, and oh yes, that's true, but there's also the $600 transaction. Will it be cash? Will it be every check written and deposit made that is tracked by artificial intelligence? Or by a government agency? You see, all these things are coming into our life through, yes, our financial system, and yes, it will turn into the beast system. And that is a part of what we are convinced we need so that we can have peace and safety. Peace and safety as they watch over us and tell us what we are allowed to do and not to do. Well, that's just a part of the process. That is how they sell their idea of having us be completely watched. It's a massive program. And somehow, we get to discern what it is that we want to have. Do we want to have a dangerous kind of a freedom? Or do we want to have peace and safety that the government gives us? I don't know. 1 Thessalonians 5:3 is where it says about peace and safety. Then people shall say, peace and safety, and then sudden destruction shall come upon them, as travail cometh upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Okay, let's skip a couple of verses to verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. So, yes, let us watch for what is coming. I hope we have an ability to make a decision about it, too. How do you want to live? Do you want to live peacefully and safely in your bed and have nothing to go wrong? Maybe you will be carefully watched over. I think of lots of people who are in hospital beds and they are watched over, but they're not living a life of the way they want it. So we have some choices to make. What do you want? We have a system that is all ready for arriving in our neighborhood, of taking over our lives. I mean, that's what we know from a practical understanding, and that is what we know from reading the Bible. It's plain to read. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all tell about that. So we get the idea that it's coming, and are we going to say, yes, come on over, let me be a part of it? Or are we going to say, no, I can't be a part of this beast system? Well, there it is. In Revelation, we are told that if we accept the mark of the beast, we will suffer eternal fire of hell. So, we know that we cannot accept that mark. We know we can't. And so, what can we do to live a little while longer as we preach the good news of the gospel to the world? Well, this is something we all have to examine, and I don't mean there is one answer, because we all have a different answer. And how are we going to do it? Who are we going to interact with? What are we going to do? Those are all individual decisions, and if you want some help with them, who are you going to ask? Well, can I suggest you prayerfully ask Jesus, and then pay attention to what an answer is, and make sure that it lines up with the Bible in a kind and loving way. That's what I think. The world has a world point of view, and the Bible has a biblical point of view of the world. So we want to first be guided by God's word, the Bible. And it does, I just said this, it tells about the things that are coming, war, famine, pestilence, and more. And somehow we need to get through those difficulties and to preach the good news of the gospel, because that's what we're called on to do. Now, maybe you have a little different calling, but I expect and believe that to preach the good news of the gospel to somebody somehow is also going to be a part of what you are called upon to do. So, yes, read that Bible and get some understanding of what you are to do personally in your relation with Jesus Christ. We have to understand what the appropriate actions will be and not be distracted by the things that come our way, like problems. There's so many problems in life. And what we do is we learn how to deal with those problems and then go forward with our calling. Our calling according to God, Jesus. And that's what we all want to do. And we all have a little different calling. And that's good. Sometimes we get involved with our obligations and what we have said we would do. And we just have to make it work so that we can be as faithful as we can as we show our love to God and our love to our neighbor. Sometimes we have to change our life and put things in a different priority. I don't know if that's you or not, but that is something that some people will have to do. The world has its own ideas about everything, about the economy, about the political situations, and somehow we get to react with all of these things as we show the love of Christ Jesus. It's what we do. It's with all the things that are going on, as we see the volatility in the world, we do have to remember and search for how to show the love of Christ Jesus, yes, to the world, and yes, to our family and friends, everyone. But The volatility, no doubt, is going to increase. It has been just plenty. I don't see it slowing down. We have a lot of things that are just brewing in life. And I think of the volatility that could occur in our world at any time. I think of a week ago, Biden said Putin cannot remain in power. Now, he tried to go back and correct that and say it meant something a little different, or his spokesman did. But he did say that in Poland. And by the way, Poland has allowed 4 million Ukrainians into Poland, which is 10% of the population of Ukraine. Very interesting, all the things that are going on, what dynamics there are. So I told you what Biden said, and Putin, of course, is watching all of this and acting carefully. His foreign minister, Lavrov, has played down many things, like a war happening, but there were mentions of war, and there were mentions of nuclear war. There were even mentions of the United States having conflict take place in the United States. There are things that are going on, and of course there have been people in America who have been concerned because of the comments that have been taking place. They're concerned for the nuclear aspects of things, and of course there are the ICBMs, intercontinental ballistic missiles, which they're always there, and from one side of the earth to another, from Russia to the United States, that flight takes 30 minutes from launch to landing. Not much time, is it? And so there are plenty of people who get concerned about a nuclear war. And nuclear war is something the Russians have been looking at for a long time. Their soldiers are equipped to deal with that. And perhaps we civilians ought to be equipped, at least on some small level, of dealing with nuclear war also. There can be nuclear accidents from a reactor or something else. Remember Fukushima in Japan? Yes. So the simplest thing that we can do is to get potassium iodide pills while they are still available. Because if there ever is a widespread concern about nuclear activity, you know that every bit of iodine and potassium iodide tablets are going to be gone. They just will not be available. So if you're one of those people who can see that there could be or is a concern about nuclear activity, then by all means get a container or two of those potassium iodide tablets while they're available. They're not that expensive. I think they would be between $30 and $50 for a container of them. Well, there are people who are, like I said, they're still concerned about the nuclear and the fallout things, and there is a question of a fallout shelter. Now, people still do have fallout shelters, and mostly they're the government people who are thinking about the continuity, which means the continuing of government in the event of a nuclear event. So they are all supplied and ready to go in their bunkers. This is a part of what FEMA and government agencies do. And we pay for all of it. They don't have any payment to speak of. But if you want some kind of a fallout shelter, you're going to have to pay for it. There's a kind of a simple concern here. As I just mentioned, the potassium iodide. But another one is that there is, well, there's government information that says 3 feet of dirt between you and the outside world that will protect you from a radioactive fallout. I have also heard a private analysis, a journalist, who said that it needs to be 150 pounds per square foot of any material to prevent the radiation from reaching you. So there's a little bit different ideas here, but you get the basic idea of what a shelter is. And sheltering in place is certainly an idea. Do you need a fallout shelter? I don't know. That's your choice. But there's a little bit to say about a nuclear event or a nuclear bomb, and that is that the dust cloud from a nuclear bomb is really, really seriously bad for anyone. And if you are in that dust cloud, you must clean yourself off immediately, because that radiation is very, very bad, harmful for your body. The nuclear activity from the fallout has what they call a half-life, and there are different opinions for how long you should stay in your fallout shelter or in a safe place. There's people who would say 3 days, more or less. And there's people who would say a couple of weeks before you go outside. Now, we all have a different idea of what a safe amount of time is before you go outside. I don't exactly have an idea on it. The idea that I would think is that you stay inside as long as you can. And you keep that radiation at a distance, all that dust. All the dust cloud that is raised in a nuclear event or nuclear bomb, you must stay out of. And if that dust is on your body, like I said, get it off immediately. If the dust is on your clothes, remove your clothes immediately. It's something that is a big issue. And really, all I'm doing is telling you the very most basic thoughts about it. But everybody, if they have a concern, needs to study this question for themselves, because anything I'm talking about is inadequate. It's inadequate. It's only a thought to give you an idea. But you will need other information, specific information. You will need things like a flashlight and radio and batteries. And by the way, with batteries, be sure you don't leave any batteries in any device. Unless you're going to use it like in the same day or couple of days, because the batteries simply corrode in any device. It's happened to me so many times. I've lost plenty of flashlights over the years, thinking you're going to use it, and then you don't. So just be aware of all those things. And remember, you want to do the best that you can to wisely survive what is going on, as you show love of others. But you want to show love wisely and not endanger anybody for whatever the reason is. For instance, if your neighbor comes over and wants something, a tool or food, what are you going to do? Are you going to save what you have for your friends and family who might be showing up? Look, this is things that I don't have an answer to. I only know that they're questions that we all ought to kind of consider before there is a problem that just confronts us. I do think about the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25, where 5 of those virgins had prepared, and 5 did not prepare, so they had to get oil for their lamps. And they left. They went to get the oil, and by the time they got back, they were shut out of the wedding feast. So, you need to pray about it and understand your position on having supplies or giving supplies out. It's not that I know. I don't know the situation. I ponder it, and I just want everybody to look and see what they would do. I think that everybody has had a chance to get their supplies and their food, and what about if you don't get them? Well, is that then their own personal problem? I mean, there have to be consequences for people who do things and who don't do things. And like I said, I don't know the answer. I just know that there are things that could go on. And in the future, if we ever have such a kind of event in our country or in the world, things will change. If people get hungry, things will change. And you know that without law enforcement, well, we just might have to have our own law enforcement team of people who would be willing to watch over the little community that we form, because a community is what is needed in the event of a disaster. We're not going to survive it alone. Well, maybe we will for a while, but the best way to survive is in a community where we can help each other, where we can provide things for the weak and the strong members of that community. There's not any one answer. It's just we have to look at what we will do during hard times if they ever come along. And it seems like there's reasons to say that they will. There will be reasons that are worldly reasons, and there were reasons that are biblical reasons. Hard times are likely going to come in our lifetime. So we have to figure out what we're going to do about it, what we're going to do to prepare about it. And it comes in a whole lot of different ways that we think about preparing. Now, I want to tell you a story about the 2005 Hurricane Katrina. You see, there were people who were scam artists. They were violent people who wanted to take what other people had. And they would get a young woman with a baby to knock on a door so that the young woman and the baby were visible through the peek hole or through the window. And then so she would appear alone. And then there would be 5 or 10 or more young men, or just plain rough men, who, as soon as the door opened, they would rush inside and take whatever they wanted, often tying up the people and sometimes brutalizing the people inside. So this is a part of the preparation that we have to be thinking of that could happen. Probably won't, but it could. And we have to be aware of what could happen and see what we need to do to protect ourselves. And during those raids, as I said often enough, the homeowners were, well, they were abused so that the ruffians could extract any information or riches or whatever it is that they wanted from them. So, yes, most people are kind and caring and compassionate, but we have to be prepared for that few percent of the population who are cold-hearted and ruthless. And we have to just be realizing that there really are people like that out there, and we might have a situation where we have to deal with people like that. And I think the best way to do it, especially if we don't have a police force, is to have a community of people who care for one another. That community can be a neighborhood, a family, a group of people with the same interests. there's no answer to who that group of people will be, but it is something that we can just have a few thoughts about, so that if the situation ever does arise, we will have thought about it just a little bit, and we won't have to develop our thoughts from zero. We will already be at a 10% examination, and so we don't have to examine the most very basic steps. We can look at it a little further on. We are always in a question of who do we trust? Who is in our group? We often think of family and friends as being in our group, but we still have to be careful that everybody is in their right mind. And, you know, drugs and alcohol, they can change a person's mind. And I don't know who you're going to trust. I don't know anything about that. There's plenty of people who are even trustworthy when they are drinking. And there's so many people who just plain are not. I don't know that answer, but I hope that you pray for understanding and guidance. Because if it ever comes to a situation where we face real tough difficulties, we will have choices to make, and we will have to make them. And I hope we have consideration of what could happen before we have a knee-jerk reaction and make a choice. Of course, violence sometimes has to be stopped with violence. It is not that we want to hurt anybody or kill anybody. It's just that sometimes a person's body has to be disabled for the violent attack to stop. And this is a part of what we do in our thought, which is, in a sense, training. And it's a discussion that we would have with the more capable security members of our community. It's all something to look at. I don't mean to say that it has to be something that will happen. I just mean it's a part of what could happen, so we might as well give it just a little thought. And as we're thinking about things that could go wrong, let's remember all the things that could go right. Yes, God and His goodness and His life is right, and we want to preserve that. We also want to preserve our freedom and liberty, along with our Constitution and our Bill of Rights. So we may have to defend something. It could happen like that. I don't know that answer, and it's just something to keep in mind. As I said, so you don't have to start at zero, that you will have a little pre-thought about it in case things quickly get volatile. And speaking about volatile, well, you know that there's a lot of people who are concerned about war happening with the back and forth that's going on between President Putin and Biden. And this is something where there is a war of words. And words sometimes become a war of action. A part of that action, it could develop into an economic war. I mean, it already has, with the United States placing sanctions on the Russian economy and certain Russian people. It's something which an economic war is still a war. And now, a few days ago, Russia's Putin punched back, and he was saying that Russia would only sell its natural gas and oil if rubles were used. So the money from Russia has to be used to buy and sell gas and oil. So this is something which is going on that could change the dominance of the United States dollar in the world as the world's reserve currency. And a couple of weeks ago, Saudi Arabia also said that it was entertaining the idea of selling oil and in the Chinese currency of yuan or renminbi. It's similar. So with these kind of conflicts going on, we know that different ideas can lead to Yes, a conflict of words, but also a conflict of kinetic energy or war. So these things are going on, and we ought to be aware of it. If the oil gets traded in something other than dollars, we will be losing something that has been in existence for over 50 years, the dominance of the United States dollar as the world reserve currency. And if that happens, we would pretty quickly have our whole currency, an economy, just plain crash. If the faith in the U.S. dollar goes away, so does our economy, as people would learn around the world to look for a different basis of transactions. And this is a problem, especially since we have had our money become less and less stable. And we've done that through inflation. There has been inflation, for instance, in the last 100 years. We've had an average of 2.8% inflation per year, on average. And this is not a whole lot, but 2.8% adds up. So that 100 years ago, if you had $100 that would buy $100 worth of whatever it was, that $100 today, based on the 2.8% inflation, would buy $5.44 of the same goods or services. See, that's what inflation is doing. And today our government tells us we have 8% inflation, but plenty of people in business and industry say the real rate of inflation is 15% today. So you can see it is eroding our savings and our economy. And that's what we have to be aware of. We have a system that is harming us. It's a little too complex for now. But know that we could have a very serious problem with our money system surviving. And that includes our economy and our government surviving. These are real big problems, and there's plenty of big money fund investors who are saying that we are going to have a currency problem or a currency collapse. They say the dollar is not a good way to hold your money anymore. And we have to pay attention to that and be aware of what we would do if things really do fall apart. What would we do? Well, we would want to eliminate debt. That is always the first thing, to not take on any new debt. And then we would get things that would be preparing us for some hard times. I mean, that's kind of the best we can do, because we don't know really what would go wrong. There are people who have written books and talked about what happens when there is a currency collapse or when the government goes broke. This has happened in so many countries in the last 100 years. It just hasn't happened in the United States. We can learn our lessons and get things that last. Probably the biggest thing that people talk about is hunger. Food. Have food on hand. And Biden even said that there would be a food crisis. So, what kind of food are you going to get? Everybody thinks of canned food, and that's a good thought, but it's not the whole thought. Canned food is good, but so are grains. Grains of your choice. I will go into that another time. But if you don't think about what the possibilities are, you will be unprepared to deal with what is probably coming our way. Now, we ought have hope in our future, because there is plenty of hope in our future. It is hope for our wonderful and eternal relationship with God and with our other people. This is something that there is lots of hope. It's just that our expectations will have to change because of the shortages that are going on. And you know about that. You know about the rising prices. There's all these things that are going on. So give it some thought and see what to do. Pray for discernment and pray for the days that are ahead of us. And we don't know exactly what's going to happen, but we sure get an idea of what some of the things are that are going to happen. Shortages have been in our past, and we're pretty sure that they will be in our future. So you think about what you would have to have on hand. It's always a good thing. Remember that other broadcasts are available on Christ Today, www.christtoday.org. You can look up any of the broadcasts in the past. And I did like the March 26th broadcast a lot. So if you haven't heard that March 26th broadcast, then give a listen to it. I hope you do, because there are things going on, and our awareness is a great big part of what we should do. You can get my preparedness pamphlet. It is free. Just please send me a stamped, self-addressed envelope, and I'll get that back to you. And I hope that that will help you think about what you might want to do for some way of preparations. Everybody has a list of preparations. I mean, plenty of people do. They're good lists, but often they're too long or too expensive, or you just don't want to do the things. So at least do a few things so that you are prepared for you and your loved ones. Preparedness does take thought and time and money, so we have to make evaluations to see what the most important parts are. And that is one thing that the lists will help you to do. So yes, get my list or get somebody else's list. There's lots of ideas, and I hope you examine what you can do and what you can think about as you plan and then as you do. I do pray for the people who listen to this broadcast, and I hope that you pray for me. And again, that self-addressed stamped envelope can go to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. May you walk with God, and may God walk with you. Passion that pours out to every nation, yeah. Shine your light.